Has joined.
Hallo.
Has joined. Has joined.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We will begin. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kenenei aleinu maasei yadeinu kenenehu. We are going to complete Psalm 90 during this class. You can find the handout on the unique astrological times link. When the landing page opens up, please scroll down to the section of Ta'anit Dibur. There are three links called Psalms Landing Page. Please pick the link that connects you to Psalm 90. When that opens up, scroll down to Psalm 90, and you will find two links, one for the Machon Mamre and one for the Yearning for Redemption PDF by Rabbi Sutton. In earlier classes, in the morning classes for the last couple of weeks, we have studied verses 1 to 10. Today we will start with verse 10. There are, I believe it's 18 verses in Psalm 90. Let me confirm that. No, it's 17 verses in Psalm 90. And we know Psalm 90 is, we know the number 70 connects to the Hebrew word tov, meaning good. So we will now read from the Yearning for Redemption PDF, or Psalm, verse 10 of Psalm 90. Yemei shenotenu lahem shivim shana ve'im bigvurot Shimonim Shana Virahabam Amalvaven Kigazish Wana Ufa. The translation: the years of our lives number 70, and if we are strong, 80. But the honor we attain in our short lives is wearisome and futile, for the end cuts us off swiftly and everything we have done flies away. Let's look at the English translation for the Machon Mamre website. The days of our years are 70 years and 10, or even by reason of strength, 80 years. Yet is their pride but travail and vanity, for it is speedily gone, and we fly away. Now, the word for vanity that we usually are used to seeing, which is hevel, the name Abel, or the word for breath, also is used in the, I'm trying to remember the name in Hebrew. It's one of the famous scrolls in the Torah, written by King Shlomo in Solomon. And the first verse starts out, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And the word in that verse is hevel. But we don't see hevel in verse number 10. So I'm not sure. I think they're translating the word la'aven, which the word ain, aleph, vav, nun, sofit, means nothingness. And that's what they're using to translate as vanity. There are 16 words. The number 16 is a very interesting number because it's the male letters of Hashem's name, the Yud and the Vav. But we don't write it Yud and Vav out of respect. We write it Ted Zion. But essentially, the number 16 connects to the male energies of Hashem's name. It connects to the essence of sharing. And there are 63 letters, which connects to the gematria of Hashem's name when spelled out at the level of Bina, which is the world that is coming. Verse 11. Vi yodea ozapecha ukiratcha evratecha. Who knows the power of thine anger and thy wrath according to the fear that is due unto thee? If you look at the last word in the first line on the B'chon Mamre, Ukiratcha, They're translating that last word, the fifth word out of six, as fear. Of course, there's a lot of other letters. So the beginning letters of Vav is and. And the kaf represents, they've shortened the word ki, kaf yud. And then the shoresh is yud resh aleph, which is yirah. And I've always noticed this kaf that's inserted that gives it some form of conjugation. But it's a female form of conjugation. And then the final ka is translated as yur. So what it's taking is this last word that your awe or your fear, like your fear, and like your fear is really a more literal translation. As I said, there are six words which connects to Zeran Pin when it is not unified with Malchut. And there are 23 letters, and we've spoken about the number 23 many times. Let's see what the translation in Rabbi Sutton's Yearning for Redemption. There's a footnote, but let's read the English translation first. Who really understands the reason for the intensity of your anger, or that your displeasure is proportionate to one's fear of you? Now, that's a more easily understandable translation, but it leads to some interesting thoughts. Why is it important? Why is God's pleasure or displeasure or anger proportionate to the level of the person's awe? You think if you have greater awe, and when you make that mistake, that Hashem will blame you, that his anger is greater because you have greater awe? And the answer is yes. When you think about it, the answer is yes. Because we've always heard that Hashem measures the tzaddikim to a hair's breadth. And the implication is, the explanation is, that a righteous person is judged with less leniency. And that's what this verse is actually saying with Rabbi Sutton's translation. Now let's read verse or footnote 109, which comes from Hirsch. As we know, Hirsch is an 18th century Orthodox rabbi who contested with the rabbis of the Enlightenment. He disagreed with the Reform movement's translations and teachings, and he stood up for Orthodoxy and justified against the charges by the Enlightenment. Who on earth is capable of recognizing the force of your anger as it moves on toward its true purpose? Who is wise enough to understand that you will step forth? You will amplify your ire against us.
Has joined.
Only in that measure in which it is your desire that we fear you. In other words, God's wrath goes forth with irresistible force toward the end and ultimate goals of his rule
Has joined.
But his stepping forth with displeasure, his intervention in the course of history, is in accordance with the fear of him. That is, in accordance with the extent to which he wishes us to fear him. The purpose of his displeasure, in other words, is yirah, fear, or reverence, or awe. Now, I don't know if this footnote is completed. We have to scroll down to the bottom of the next page, which is page 150, to see if it continues, and it does not. So let us return to page 149. Which is also page 77 in the booklet itself. The addendum adds about approximately 50 pages, and that's where the difference. If you look at the number of pages in the PDF, it's 216. It's about approximately 50 less in the printing of the booklet because of the preface. Verse 12. Lim nod yamenu kein hoda v'navio levav hachma. Teach us, therefore, to number our days, so we will acquire a wise and understanding heart. And now let's look at the translation in the Mahon Mamre. So teach us to number our days that we may give us a heart, say that we may get us a heart of wisdom. I have to ask, what is the connection between counting the number of days you want to live and attaining a heart of wisdom or attaining understanding of our heart? I'm going back to the Rabbi Sutton's so that I can understand where he said an understanding is added words, so we can acquire a wise heart. But it should say, in both of them, a wise hearts, because the word is levav, which is the plural of lev, indicating we have two levels of heart. Verse 13. Shuva Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yohewahe Dawanu Heyo Admatai Vahinachem Al Avadecha. Return, Hashem. How much longer will your anger last? Reconsider and think favorably about your servants. It's a well-established, well-thought-out way of describing our prayers. I'm returning to you. How long before you'll forgive me? Seven words indicating a connection between the unity of Zeranpin and Malchut. Now let's go see what the Mahon Mamre translation of verse 13. Return, O Hashem, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. I believe you can see clearly why Rabbi Sutton's translation is more readable. Verse 14. Sabenu va boker chaz decha unranena benismecha bekol yameinu. Seven words.
Has joined.
Three letters, also in verse 14. I'm sorry, it's the verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Now let's read the Yearning for Redemption translation. Return, Hashem, how much longer will your anger last? Reconsider and think favorably about your servants. It's much easier to read. Verse 1. Sabenu vaboker chazdecha unranena. Saturate us every morning with your loving kindness. When we know that you love us, we will be able to sing with happiness and rejoice throughout all our days and even the dark nights of our suffering. There's a lot of additional words that Rabbi Sutton added that helps us understand this translation. The Mahon Mamre translation is difficult to follow. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Very difficult to understand. Verse 14. Sabenu babo. This is the translation that the Hebrew that we read earlier. I just went back and read the translation for the wrong verse, so please excuse me. Mahon Mamre translation of verse 14, O satisfy us in the morning with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. It's really the word chesed means loving kindness. And Tiferet is translated as mercy. And I've asked many people, what's the difference between mercy and loving kindness? And it really takes a lot of contemplation for you to arrive at an answer that will satisfy you. And I suggest you take a look at that question. What is the difference between loving kindness, which is chesed, and mercy, which is rachamim? And that's why it's important to have Rabbi Sutton's translation to help you make that understanding. Verse 15. Samchenu ki modeini tanu shenot ra'inu ra'a. Grant us joy corresponding to the number of days of our affliction. Grant us years for every day we saw trouble. And we have a footnote, number 110. Rashi says, grant us joy in the Messianic age according to the days of our affliction. According to the Midrash, every day of affliction will be compensated by a year of joy. There's a wonderful story of in the time of the Baal Shem Tov, there was an earl or a duke who went on vacation, and he left his house in charge of his servants. And the servants played a joke on one particular servant. They got him drunk, and then when he went to bed, when he woke up in the morning, they treated him as if he was the earl. And this went on for all the days of the vacation. And when the earl got back and found out what had happened, he punished the servant. He wasn't the one who caused it, but he received the benefit. So the earl punished him. And he was crying to his wife afterwards. If only those benefits had gone on longer, then the punishment would have gone on longer, and I will receive greater reward in the world that is coming. So let's look at the Machon Mamre for verse 14. No, it's verse 15, I'm sorry. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, according to the years wherein we have seen evil. You see, the problem with this translation is it's saying that God afflicts us, and he doesn't. That's just the effect of our own actions. Six words. We know the answer. Six words connects to Zeran Pin without the unification of Malchut. Twenty-eight letters connects to the word koach, meaning power or strength. Verse 16 from the Machon Mamre. Yerae el avadecha ba'alecha wachadarcha al b'neichem. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory upon their children. And the yearning for redemption. Let the truth of your actions become evident to your servants. Let your splendor rest upon their children. Every parent would love for their children to receive the benefit rather than themselves. And that's what's being expressed here. Verse 17. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konena Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konenehu. May the pleasantness of Adonai our God be or flow down upon us. May he establish our endeavors above in eternity, and may he establish our endeavors below in this physical world. Footnote 111. See Rashi here. Moshe blessed them twice, once that the holiness of the Shekhinah would rest on the Mishkan that they had just built, which deals with heavenly matters, and once that there should be blessing in everything else that they do, the earthly matters. And see also the Gra. That the first Ma'aseh Yadenu, establish our endeavors, parallels the phrase Hashamayim, Shamayim Lashem, the heavens belong to Hashem, and Hanistarot Lashem, the hidden things are God's business. While the second Ma'aseh Yadenu, establish our endeavors, parallels V'Haaretz, Natan Livnei Adam, but the earth he gave to the children of man, and V'Haniglot, Lanu Ulvanenu, that which is revealed is for us and for our children. This is typical of the mathematical style of the Gra. Finally, see the explanation of Matok Devash on Zohar Yitro, where he clearly states, Konenu Alenu, may the supernal rectification and unification be done as is proper above by virtue of our fulfillment of the mitzvot, and Konenehu, may the proper rectification be applied to the Malchut below as well, to unite Malchut with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, by virtue of our fulfillment of the mitzvot. Here you have three different sages commenting on this verse in three different ways. I recommend you take a strong look and re-examine this footnote many times. Now let us read the 17 verses in Hebrew sequentially.
Has joined.
Maon. Ata haita lanu bedor vador. Beterem hiyahim yuladu vate holel. Eretz vetevel umeolam. Adolam atael. Tashev enosh adaka. Watomer shuvene am kiele shanim b'enecha kiyom etmol kiyavor v'yashmura balayla zaram tam shana shena hiyu baboker kechatzir yahalo baboker yachitz v'halaf le'arev yemolel v'yavesh ki kalinu b'yapecha uvachamatcha nivhalelu halu shatei Shatav avonotenu l'negdecha alumenu Meshanotenu Vahem Shivim Shanavim Bighu Rochimonim Shanavirahavam Amavavem Kigashish Vanaufa Miodea Ozapetha Ukiratha Evratetha Limno Jimenu Kenoda Winavio Levav Hachba Shuva Adonayo Hewahe Adanu Yo Ad matai vehina hem alavadecha. Sabenu baboker. Lazdecha unranena v'nashmatcha. V'kol yameinu samcheinu kimot. Initanu shedot rainu. Ra ye ra et elavadecha Valecha vachadarcha al b'nechem Vimeno am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu ma'ase yadenu Konenu aleinu ma'ase Yadenu konenehu. And please return to the Psalms landing page. So we will read the commentary for Psalm 90. Rav Kook, a very 20th century Kabbalist, made a commentary on Psalms, and I've been adding them recently. I think this is the first one we will read together, and then there's another commentary below that. But Rav Kook said, teach us to count our days. What value is there to our lives, which stream by like a dream? What significance can there be to mortal man, who sprouts like the grass in the morning, only to wither away by nightfall? What consequence can there be to a fleeting life of 70 years, or with strength 80 years, compared to the eternity of Hashem, from the beginning of the world to its end? You are God. Moses, in this prayer or this psalm, is confronting these fundamental questions about life, toiling for the other side. The psalm's first 11 verses are indeed discouraging, stressing both the futility of our transient existence and God's disappointment and anger at how we waste what little time we have. For all our days pass away in your fury. We waste our years like an utterance. The word fury in Hebrew is evra, comes from the word ever, meaning the other side. This fury reflects a divine frustration that we expend our efforts on inconsequential matters. Toiling on the other side, we work for fleeting goals, the opposite of what our true aspirations should be. Please mute your phone so that the loud as they're not being heard. Thank you. What does it mean that our years are wasted like an utterance? But our days are filled with deeds that go against Ratzon Hashem, the will of God, God's intent for the universe. Then the sum total of our years are just a single incoherent utterance. All our deeds over the years are like a cacophony of noise, the sound of our strivings and labors. But their combination contains no significance, no true meaning. The sounds do not form intelligible words and sentences. All our efforts were squandered in our labors for the other side. We are sadly prone to delusions. The days of our lives are 70 years, and their pride is toil and deception. When compared to eternity, any finite length of time is insignificant. If we know how to direct our ephemeral lives toward eternal goals, then our days may be uplifted and permeated with significance. But when human arrogance succeeds in blinding our vision, we can be misled into thinking that there is ultimate meaning to temporal, superficial life. Such a mistaken view can bring about terrible toil and deception, for there is no limit to human greed when chasing after worthless gold. Prophetic enlightenment. And how can we know what is God's purpose for the universe? If our minds could grasp God's intention as to the goal of life, then we could use our intellect to connect our lives to the inner purpose. But our knowledge and powers of reasoning are limited. While God's purpose in creating the universe is boundless, we are not even aware of the extent of the disparity between our physical wants and the brilliant light of divine will by which God governs his world. How then can we know how to live a meaningful life? As the psalm pleads, teach us how to count our days. Reveal to us how we can make our days count. Our actions are the product of limited understanding, and we are constrained by our physical nature. Only the enlightenment of divine knowledge, the gift of prophecy, can save us. When the light of godly knowledge shines on all aspects of life, then our actions will have eternal import. Life's details will take on true significance, and its overall direction will be governed by divine wisdom. Now we can understand why this psalm is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. This psalm is appropriate for a unique personality like Moses, whose overriding ambition was to cleave to the life of all worlds. Only Moses, who demanded at Sinai, "Please show me your ways," truly grasped the connection between human existence and Ratzon Hashem, the will of Hashem. The master prophet understood that living a life of meaning requires prophetic knowledge of God's will. Teach us how to count our days so that we will attain a heart of wisdom. The phrase "we will attain" in Hebrew is Navi, could also be translated as a prophet. Teach us how to count our days as a prophet with a heart of wisdom. Awareness of divine purpose in our lives. A superficial take on life is the result of unawareness of the divine purpose in the universe. We may have difficulty sensing the ultimate purpose, but this meaning will be fully revealed in future generations. Thus we pray, may your work be revealed to your servants, but it is possible that your splendor will be revealed only to their children in future generations. The psalm concludes with a prayer that our actions should correspond to God's intent for the universe. Then we will feel a holy joy and a pleasantness in our lives. May God's pleasantness be upon us. Let the work of our hands be established for us. The work of our hands, let it be established. Why is the phrase, the work of our hands, repeated? It is not enough that our actions advance positive and significant goals. We pray that the actions themselves should have a sublime sweetness due to the divine light infusing them as we feel their inner significance. Then we will be aware that God's pleasantness will be upon us. And our second commentary. There is a hypothesis that says, use it or lose it. What it refers to is that given any part of one's being, if you don't exercise it, that part will atrophy and wither away. Doctors have now shown that using one's brain by learning new things and stretching the mind in some ways can help us maintain brain power as we age. They have shown that those who keep their minds fresh with new activity such stand a reduced risk of Alzheimer's disease and other such afflictions. This only proves what our Torah sages have long held to be vital for our spiritual well-being. One never stops being a student. Torah learning is all for all life and every life. If we stop learning and striving for fresh understanding, then our spiritual mind becomes atrophied and stagnates to our ultimate regret. The Rebbe, Reb Bunim of Peshicha, narrated the following parable. A father loaned his son 1,000 thalers to establish him in business. When the time for repayment came, he perceived that his son had used the money wisely and successfully, and he therefore made him a gift of the money loaned. On another occasion, he lent the same amount to a second son. When the time came for repayment, he found that the youth had used the money unwisely. In order to prevent further losses, he withdrew his money, and the son was compelled to abandon the business. It is the same with us. Hashem loans us the impulse to judge ourselves and to repent of our unworthy deeds. If we use this impulse wisely and increase it through sincere study, pure worship, and admirable counsel, Hashem leaves this impulse with us. But if we do nothing and make no use of this impulse ourselves, He takes it back and we remain unrepentant and sinful. This is a use it or lose it. Write it large and should be a warning to us all. True repentance is one of the most difficult things to do. It entails coming to terms with our real inner motives and having the ability to admit selfish desires. To step away from yourself and see the real you is not always a pretty sight. And change takes courage. Hashem gave us a gift, the impulse of self-judgment. Unfortunately, it often lies in the ruins of our fearful inner selves and we never get out of that mire that we have created. There is another adage that comes to mind, no pain, no gain. You can't expect to grow without some growing pains. Teshuva should be an ongoing experience, not one set aside just for Yom Kippur. It is the small daily battles that decide who we are, and it is there that we must use our heart and mind to the fullest. The fourth book of Tehillim starts with 11 consecutive portions composed by Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi tells us that they correspond to the 11 blessings which he bestowed upon the 11 of the tribes, as seen in Devarim. The Midrash Socher Tov explains that the theme of each of the 11 kapitlach relates to the specific tribe. This psalm speaks of Teshuvah and relates to the tribe of Reuben, the first of the tribes blessed. It is the first of these 11 psalms. What does Reuben have to do with Teshuvah? We are told how he repented his actions during the episode of the sale of Joseph. Chazal tells us that it was Reuben who first introduced the principle of complete repentance to the world. One could ask a simple question about this statement. Was then Reuben the first Baal Tshuva? Haven't we seen others before him repent of misdeeds? Good Yidden were wont to say that this may be so, but Reuben did Teshuvah over a sin that he committed for an act he thought of as being Lashem Shemayim. He was convinced he was doing the right thing concerning his brother. For him to do Teshuvah and have such powerful remorse was a huge accomplishment and achievement. The hardest Teshuvah to do is over things we are certain are morally proper. And this takes enormous strength. And yes, it needs a lot of practice. You can't overturn a lifetime of living in one leap. You must build up the ability to seek the truth, like a weightlifter with his different weights. Tefillah Moshe. A prayer of Moshe, the man of God, by my master, a dwelling place have you been for us in every generation. Moshe starts with the main reality of our existence, that Hashem is our dwelling place in every generation, in all times, and at all places. Tashev Enosh and Daka, Adaka. You reduce man to pulp, and you say, return, children of man. Man without a connection with Hashem becomes crushed into a moral mess. It is amazing we are the only beings that are gifted with the ability to think and choose, yet we are able of the most horrendous acts of wanton beastliness. Without a connection with Hashem, we are as ships lost in the sea. However, we are never totally lost, for Hashem is calling out to us, return, return. Ki elef shanim be'enicha, for 1,000 years are in your eyes like yesterday, that they had just passed and like a night watch. Here we are being told something that touches on the enormity of Hashem. We count days and clocks. 24 hours are a day, so many days are a week, and on time marches. We measure our lives through the speed it takes for the clock hands to get around its face. However, for Hashem, this is, so to speak, all a twink of the eyelid. For his being is beyond all time. We say this in our prayers. He was, he is, he always will be. All this is in the name In the same moment, Hashem sees us in our future before we ever get there. And so he can reach out to us before we fail. A personal connection with Hashem keeps us away from spiritual downfall. Like a gyroscope, we are kept on the right path. Limnot Yamenu Kein Hoda. To count our days, teach us, and we will acquire a heart of wisdom. We are being told that we, the living in the material world, need to learn to value the time given us if we are to live wisely. When we slip from our godly moorings, our time becomes consumed by worthless values that cheapen our inner souls. Moses is telling us to plead with Hashem.
Has joined.
We should become sensitive to the gift of the time. This will be the wisdom that true teshuvah brings with it. Yidden, there are so many of our brethren, we have no idea what any of this is all about. Yet a clue. We weep for them, but at the same time, we should weep for ourselves, for having this sweet knowledge, and then disregarding it. That is the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? While you're unmuting yourself, there are four classes tomorrow. At 7 a.m., our morning prayer class, and continuing our study. Of prayers generally. At 11 a.m., we have our basic class. We will be discussing basic class 14. Getting close to the end as well. At 4:30, we have a class for our deep Zohar classes. And at 7 p.m., we have a class by the Ari. And this is based on our normal schedule. I hope you'll take advantage of these various classes. All of the times are West Coast times, so please make the adjustment to your own time zone. I bid you all shalom gadol, much serenity and peace in your life. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thanks for that.
Thank you. Shalom.